You know we have help sessions at the 2020 Club in the culinary room, but you don't know what we work on and what we need from you. That's what Chet and Gary discussed today. Let's go! Good morning, Chet, and how are you today?
I'm doing great, Gary. How about yourself?
Fantastic. So we got a few new members. Actually, we got quite a few new members. And I'd like to just kind of go over what we do in the help sessions, how we're here on Mondays and Thursdays to help them with the problems that they might have and the devices that we actually help them with. So with that, I'm going to let you start off with, since you're the technical advisor, what would you suggest when a member comes in here asking for help? What type of devices and what should they have?
Okay. One of the things I guess I would like to start out with is just saying why the help sessions are here and what the intent of the help session is. And that's to provide a one-on-one support for people that have questions or they don't know how to do something and they need to know how to do that. If they're a completely knowledgeless about a new phone or something like that, we can help them get started and help them get some of the things organized. But because of the fact that it's all centered around helping them get a problem solved or helping them configure something, one of the things that is absolutely crucial is that they have their current accounts and password information with them. And in most cases, in fact, I would say probably 90% of the cases, we're going to need to know at least their Apple ID password, if not some of their other passwords. If they have an email problem, we need to know their email account and their email password so we can help them solve these. So it's kind of crucial that they bring that information with them.
Yeah, the email thing is a password and username is a big thing because invariably, for some reason, from time to time, you'll try to log into your email account and you'll see like a little triangle with a exclamation point or something that there's a problem. And 9 out of 10 times is they're asking for a password
again. They're asking for the password again.
So you have to have that to set that up. Now, as far as we do our best with third-party apps.
Yes.
But a lot of those that we're not very
We don't have any experience with them, yeah.
So if you're coming in with third-party apps, we'll do the best we can to try to resolve your problems. But we like to really specifically target the apps that come with the phone or the ones that we are familiar with anyway.
Yeah, a good example of that is Facebook.
Right.
And we have a number of people who their families use Facebook as their primary way of communicating. They'd be far better off to talk to their family members about how their family members use it and how they have it configured than coming in and asking us about Facebook.
And for our new members, we are here Mondays and Thursdays at the 2020 Club in the culinary room upstairs. You don't have to have an appointment. We're just here from 9 to 11. And as far as what you can bring in is pretty much, Apple, what you can carry. We have had people bring iMacs in here before.
Yes.
And that's a burden there.
Yeah, it is. But
we try to work on anything you have, so all the way down from an iMac to an Apple Watch.
One of the things, too, that people might want to consider doing is if they have both an iPhone and an iPad, for example, or they have an iPhone and a MacBook, you might want to bring both of those pieces of equipment in. One of the reasons for that is that if you do in fact have a problem, for example, with your Apple ID password and you've forgotten your Apple ID password, if one of them is automatically connecting to Apple, you can use that one to actually fix this problem.
Right.
So very often having that second machine for them is a benefit.
Right, and if you have a problem with maybe you think that you're getting your mail on your phone but not your iPad, it's a syncing problem, then you would
want to bring them in, yes.
Because we have to make sure both are signed into the account and go from there. So.
Well, another thing, too, that I see more frequently than I would expect is people who come in and they have a beautiful list of passwords and they say, I've got my passwords written down, but the machine won't take my password. And that's because you changed your password and you didn't update your list.
Right.
If you do that to yourself, you need to bring the list, you need to bring your device, and we'll try to get you through the I forgot my password routines.
Let's talk about your favorite method, the 3x5 card.
Yes.
You want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah. One of the things that I see is that people very often have books full of notebooks and address books and all kinds of things that they have put their passwords into. And they've got them very nicely in there in some cases. But the problem with the books that I've seen is as changes occur, the pages get sloppy. Put a line through something and you run out of space on the page. So now you got a note to go over three pages to the next page and try to find it there.
It blobs all over.
Blobs all over. I've gone through some people's notebooks and they've got 75 pages in here and they've got four copies of the same password and none of them work. So the recommendation that I've been using for a number of years with people is to say, look at a deck of 3x5 cards. They're very cheap, they're easy to handle, and you use a separate card for each account that you have. And you put at the top of the card what that account is. Is it your Apple ID? Is it your Gmail? What is it? Is it Bank of America? Whatever it is. And you put down the username, and you put down the password, and you list any security requirements or additional security answers that you had to give so you know exactly what those were. And the big advantage is that if you're using a 3x5 card and that card gets filled up with information, you can afford to rewrite one card. You can't afford to rewrite the pages in your notebook.
Right.
Nobody ever does that because they're just too messy, they're too covered. So by doing that, but then you have your 3x5 cards, you can store them in an envelope.
Right.
If you don't have a better way to store them, and they're there and they work.
Another thing that we have seen that we highly discourage is though people will come in here and they have deleted the built-in Apple apps.
Oh, yes.
For like Notes or Freeform or that. They think they'll never use those things, reminders.
They have no idea what they are or why they're there, and they're taking up space. I've got to get my space back.
Got to get your space back. And so then when we have a meeting and we have an exercise that requires those applications, then it takes too much of our time is going around downloading apps that should be already on.
That's right, that should be on the machines.
So that's just another tip.
Yeah, if we're going to have a meeting and require an app to be on a machine, we try to include that information. You need to see whether or not that app is on your machine. If we tell you there should be an app there, it will be a standard Apple application that doesn't cost you anything that should be on your iPhone by default.
Well, let's talk about the newest scam that you've come across.
Oh, a scam. Scams. Oh,
scam.
I love scams.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was watching the news over the weekend. And there was actually a warning on the news about this. And apparently what's happening is that people are going into the parking lots where you have the machine that has a QR code on it. You scan the QR code with your phone and go pay your parking bill. And they are sticking a label over the top of the QR code that has their QR code on it. You go in there, and it takes you to what looks like the normal website. You put all your information in. Next thing you know, half your bank account is gone, and the police are looking for you because you didn't pay for your parking.
It's a good old skimmer revisited from the gas pump.
From the gas pump, when they used to have the machines they would put on the gas pump to read your credit cards.
Just a different version.
Different version. And the thing they were saying on the news is that sometimes these are extremely hard to spot. And so they said if you're using these kind of pay terminals or pay sites on your way out of these parking lots, be very careful. Look for anything that looks the least bit suspicious around the QR code. If you're not sure about the QR code, look and see if they've got the address, the actual website address on there, and type that website address in, you'll be better off. But also if the page that comes up doesn't look right, don't fill it in. Don't give any personal information to it, and definitely don't give them your credit card number unless it looks legitimate.
Right. Yeah, that's a good tip. Well, let's talk about what's on store for our next meeting just a little bit. A little teaser for our March meeting.
We're going to have fun with photos.
Fun with photos. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit about photos and how the photo app and libraries work. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. But the main thing is that a lot of people are looking for creating some kind of a photo book,
mm-hmm.
where they can annotate with text, where they can put pictures together and all those kind of things. And it turns out that you have on all of your Apple devices a piece of software that Apple gives you for free that allows you to do this and do some pretty sophisticated layouts. It's called Keynote.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at how can you use Keynote along with your photo library to actually put together your photos in what looks like a photo book.
Well, that's interesting.
And then how you can share that. And this isn't printing a physical book like you would have on a coffee table book or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you can create this in a form that you can send out to other people.
I know when it's been a while, Apple actually had a book in Photos that you could
yes.
drop, and they would actually publish the book for you and send you a hardcover book. It's really nice. But I guess they quit doing that.
So. Apple quit. There are some third-party companies, Shuttlefly or something is mm-hmm. one of them that is popular, that does do that. But those books are expensive.
Oh, they were expensive.
Apple's were up to $90 or $100. The ones I've seen are $40 to $60
mm-hmm.
Per copy, depending upon how many pictures
pages.
You put in and so forth. So they're very expensive. They're beautiful. There's no doubt about that. If you want a coffee table book,
right.
that's how you're going to get a coffee table book. Most people aren't really interested in that. They're interested in how do I share my photographs with other people in a way that they can have and enjoy them also. And so that's what we're going to look at is how to take advantage of that.
That's pretty neat. I mean, yeah, we're getting away from the hard copy. You know, it's all digital.
It's all digital
books
now.
And everything. So that makes sense. Now, can you add music to it?
You could, in fact, generate it out as a movie with music mm-hmm. and all kinds of other things. But then you're generating a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're not generating something that somebody could sit down and read or print out or so forth. So
gotcha.
You need to consider a little bit what it is you're aiming for.
Right.
And if you're actually thinking about a movie, you know, we did that a year or so ago, we did that, the Dublin pictures that I took, and we
right.
used iMovie to put them into an actual movie.
Right.
So if you're going to film a movie, that's a little bit different.
I got you. Well, I'm really excited about it. This is going to be a good one.
I hope so.
How many slides are you up to now?
About 45.
Oh, double from last week.
Well, okay. You know, I got another week to go.
You got another week to go. You'll hit 100 for us.
No, not 100.
Well, we look forward to seeing you all this the second Wednesday, and what's the date? I can't even. Is
13th.
It the 13th, March 13th, Veterans Theater. We changed our hours. Remember, ours are now 1 to 3, so we'll see you the 13th. Thanks for stopping by and taking a listen, and with that, I think we're going to call it a day, Chet.
All righty. Sounds good, Gary.